Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. My royal.
As the saying goes, when monkey don't stop, no show. Thus, no third dimensional being can stop my flow. I'm multi dimensional. My style is quantum physical. My lyrical ritual manifests its rhymes. I chant om at times, become one with the mind. Let it be known, my tone is the new paradigm. To channel my power, put my CD on your shrine. To repeat my name at least 9 times. I avoid bullshit like Muslims avoid swine. I'm the ancient spades and king of diamonds combined. This for your astrology oracles that know the true time. Supreme divine, change your water to wine. I'm on some other shit, like the return of the mothership Nibiru. Immortals, I'll never fear you, I can't even hear you. Your frequency is too low, you couldn't feel me if I was near you. Your vibrating too slow. I study you whack back cats like I study plots in the movie. You act the rappers, just don't move me. Got my peoples fucked up, worse than clowns like Gucci. Rick Ross and Cheesy, shit is so sleazy, it's cheesy. Hold up, does my ears deceive me? I heard somebody say the best rapper was Wheezy. Please, G, none of your C's can see me.
Never.
How you battle the forces of invisibility? I'm Moon Ra, a lyrical deity. The manifestation of that dark matter energy. A high priest of the Hoochie, the messenger of Mercury. A warrior of Mars, a worse than cause mental scars. Now I communicate my tongue, obliterate wars. Fuck your man-made laws, I waken souls on tours. Nathurian, Syrian, Atlantic, him I more. A royal immortal, one of the magi of the serpent order. Voice of the source, is she flowing water. My presence felt like that symbol of the woo. An ancient superhero, the black Doctor Who. Looking down on you from on top of a pyramid view. So pay respect when the gods walk through. What you wanna do? I travel with the Nepeteru.
Who's next?
It's all about race with these black gods. It's all about racing with these black cars. They wouldn't put my face on these black cars. They wouldn't put a link in my backyard. They wouldn't give a diplomatic status in a conscious community, which would only mean we will kill you with impunity. Which would only mean we will kill you for the mutiny. Which would only mean we could kill you for your coonery. I appear tall cause I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants, molars of the science. When I heat up in the course, I'm colder than Brian. My soul is older than tyrant. Who rules the kingdom balance in the codes of compliance with the codes of defiance. We're from 80 by her lifestyle. Pork in the lard. Blood's in the crypt. We was walking the yard. Not a red pill crypt walking with God. You are now talking to God. Devils in a red dress are stalking the God. In my charts, I got New York in my card. Planets in Atlantis and Brooklyn overlooking Central Booking. This central missile's got my missiles cooking. Soap or water, the potions is working. Ocean 14, America's empire, no the ledge, blowing bread. And ever since the merger, we've been living like the Prince of Persia. The palace like Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. Let's not forget the Dallas Knights. See biscuits on my arm. Let's not forget the Dallas Knights. Run away from parasites. Run away from poverty's paradise. On the midnight train to Georgia. No Gladys Knight. No Waka Flocka Flame. No Laffy Taffy. No Cafe. All you get is pills from the red. The anti-soho. Counterpoint self-proso. Sending out chills to the feds. Fuck a label deal. They giving up meals for a head. We focus on a bigger picture. Like world conquest. While you niggas is focused on dancing contests. Direct results of France's conquest. The earth is shaking. The pillars is weak. This is spoken revelation. The killers is me. Niggas falling off they swear about a million a week. The chillers is weak. We still in the streets. Other than that, niggas chilling the streets. Presidential top floor. Chanting down Babylon with the chop saw. Black books and seminars. Black books filled up with generals. Underworld criminals. So putting in the work is so, so minimal. Frontline soldiers. Never no subliminals. Alchemists engaged in war. It's sometimes mineral. Sometimes genetic. Sometimes chemical.
Up awaiting the 2012-11-11 is a portal. I'm at the helm of comets inside of space. Feel that I'm out of place. What I speak in common as I vanish without a trace and go within myself. That's where answers to questions lie. Keep it all fluorescent as I strengthen my inner eye. Feeding my violent flames, aligning my border seas. Hip hop was original. All I seen now was forgery. Back in ancient Kemet, they studied the mystic art. The main lesson taught was operate from the heart. Imagine a sacred kingdom of elders that came before to pass it on to those. Cause the masses, omnivores, they eating up anything. Time for a fast, yo. My hands are
but y'all can call me Frank.
Yeah. Life in a tissue is always sacrificial. Noise blasting missiles. They opening portals and recalling autos, shifting things. Polly about to introduce whips with Wayne. How else they gonna outrun Popo? It's just piloting autos, flying whips and spaceships. Straight out the pages of Philip K. Dick. Fuck the Terror Dome, welcome to the Matrix. Alkalize or die, shit's falling out the sky. Man, these crackers is terrified, paralyzed, fearing the unknown, hearing them trunks blow. Before defeat, they retreat across the River Styx. They got you blind all the time about the truth of the 666. Man, it's carbon, man. The first shall be last on its sovereign land. Six neutrons, six electrons, plus six protons. Equals a cosmic mortal, emerging out a cosmic portal, according to the Dogon. Transform like Voltron. Due to a rise in the lies, I kept my eyes on a prize like Lionel. Shit, sight be on sight like Obadiah. I can see Zion well from the mountaintop. Yeah, abundant land, a boundless lot. Expose these liars like roaches, light beyond light. Holy fire, my offer. Get baptized in the raptures of holy waters. Riding on chariots into this age of Aquarius. Stars of the belts made out of photons like Orion's hell. We stunting, something serious be by far. The pictures I paint been tri-star, so I excel. Observe me in all of my splendor. High as hell. Blue pill. That's how we do. Royal immortal, my East Coast. Super hate rules. You know how we do. Y'all think this a motherfucking game? We ain't playing. They flap their wings on this one. Trust Sound, Trust Studio. That's how we go. Brooklyn, ATL. Michigan.
Yo, God, do the knowledge, God, like this. This world is ruled and controlled by society that exists within society, that exists within society, God.
Islam, Islam. Peace, peace. What's going on? This your host, Cheyenne, you know. Back, you know, I had to take care of some things. We got a lot of catching up to do. There's a lot of things going on in current events that I want to touch on. We're going for 2 hours tonight, so if you got something to say, and you want to call in, and you want to express some things, then feel free to do so. But, there's a lot of things going on in current events. There's a lot of things I got to update people about the book, a lot of other things as well. Excuse me. So, tonight we're going to obviously be talking about, building Moorish Wall Street, building up an economic platform in conjunction with a political platform, which is the two avenues and the two ways that you get to independence and self-determination, which is something that I'm definitely going to be touching on in detail tonight, because I think at the root of the nationality question, the nationality issue, the economics, the politics, all of these various different things, it really all ties into the fact that we have to determine the right of what's the right of the self-determination. If anybody's read the international civil and political rights, as well as the indigenous rights, the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights, and just all the various bodies of law between sovereign nations, it all has to deal with the right to self-determination, which plays a key role in what you would call this nationality issue. So, for starters, just to give everybody an update on the books, I should have tracking numbers for, I know I'm backed up, you know, a couple weeks, but some people have been getting them. Had to fulfill some bookstore orders. I got two bookstores in Europe that's been ordering them, thanks to some people that I know out there that's, you know, they are Metal Cushion, they're, you know, they're doing things out there. And a couple of other places. So, you know, they put some, you know, sizable orders in, so those had to get filled. And, you know, I'm a bit understaffed, so, you know, just hang in there. You're definitely going to get it. It's definitely a masterpiece. It's actually about 220 pages. When it got converted, it got, you know, shortened and condensed. But it's definitely has a lot of, you know, the information that you would need to begin to build, create your own estate, which is at the root of the colonization issue. Because when you do factor in nationality, religious freedoms, all of these different particular things, you got to also take into account what the estates were. See, when you start talking about the estate, you start to talk about the commercial aspect of everything that's taking place, because the politics, the laws, all of these different things was created based around stealing the actual estates. And if you did some quick etymological research and study into what the estates is, or what an estate is, you know, or even state, it comes from estate, you know, and it was the collection of estates that made up the collection of, you know, governmental provinces, because along with the wealthy landowners, like there's a term in Morocco, they call them the Moxin. This was the wealthy landowners, the tribal leaders, the political leaders. This is what they call them. They call them the Moxin. And they took the all red flag down in honor that the true to honor the fact that the true Moxins actually, you know, are not in power at this particular point. So that's just some, you know, FYI information. But the root is the estates. For instance, if anybody's ever asked themselves, what is Washington State all the way on the West Coast for? You know, did anybody do any research into, you know, Washington's family? You know, where it was just started by somebody who figured they wanted, you know. Just go research the history of Washington State. You'll see where I'm going with the whole thing, because these states are inquisitionist territorial jurisdictions that were superimposed political boundaries on the map over the political and the commercial estates that the various indigenous tribes and Moors had in the Americas and many other places as well. And this is what has to be taken into account when you start to say, okay, when you get to the root of the economic issue and the commercial issue of everything that's going on. Because I think it was Queen Valeria or Valhara who, on one of her videos, she was breaking down how what they were doing, what they were calling slavery, is they would take certain, you know, certain land. Well, what they first came in with the whole record your deed at the county, and the counties are, you know, pretty much ancient as well. But when you understand what a count is, that's where your county is coming from, you know. But when you research it in Islamic law, it's called a Sharifian government, because the Sharif was the sheriff, or is the sheriff. So she would say when they came in and did that, they started replacing people off their own plantations or properties or estates, and they would force them to go work at another plantation. And what happened was, when they would run away, you know, they'd end up on different plantations, or pretty much they was just moving, stealing property and moving it around. You know, people talk about how, you know, the Moors is stealing properties. Like, everybody's saying that, you know, the Moors is stealing properties. I think that's a discredit and a disservice to, you know, people who are really putting in a lot of work on the commercial and residential property aspect for Moors, because, I mean, you're going to take some bumps and some bruises. You know, no liberation movement or no movement has come without any struggle.
Islam, can anybody hear me? All right, Islam, no doubt. Thanks. Wow. I guess things was getting a little bit too interesting. That was crazy because the phone was full. And I had a lot of juice on it, enough energy, and it just said, I just took it off. I just took off the background noise. Yeah. The phone was juiced up, and it said, you experiencing technical difficulties. And then I tried, so I hung up the phone, and then the blog talk wouldn't, it still had the hostess called in. So when I pick up the phone again to try to call in, it said, you already called in. This is crazy. You know, I guess it was about to give out some bars. You know? Man. All right, we're back on track. All right. So, you know, okay, the estates. You know, this is the key to the problem. The estates. The estates is something that, you know, was held in trust, with family trusts. So, if anybody knows anything about an irrevocable trust, like, number one, just for starters, and, you know, Kojo could confirm for us whether I'm telling the truth or not, but the first thing wealthy people start to, you know, take control of or start to handle once they either have wealth or when they go to their financial planners and they start to actually, you know, implement a financial plan, a wealth building plan. Trusts are the first thing that comes up. You know, you got to check out, it's a book called How to Reduce Your Taxes by 70%. I think it was recommended by Robert Kiyosaki in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He gave reference to something of that nature. So when you consider an irrevocable trust, and that's stemming from a family trust, and families became larger, large families became what you have is tribes. You see what I'm saying? And tribes, you know, from a tribal point, it can either take two directions. It could take kingdom or nation. But usually, a kingdom, because the root word of kin, kind, is in the word kingdom, is why you have kindred. When you look up the word kingdom, it's going to tell you, before you start thinking, it's going to tell you about some kind of, you know, medieval kingdom or something. No, it's going to tell you about phylums, you know, genus, you know, species and stuff, kinds. You see, that's natural government, kingdoms, you see. And then an extension of that, or in place of that sometimes, you just have the nation, you see. So taking those different things into consideration, you know, which is one of the parts I speak about in the book, Identity Correction, is that you have to know your bloodline. You know, I've heard people say, oh, that's not important. You know, we all Moors, Americans, we all Moors, that's it, end of story. You got melanin, you're Moor, you know, that's it. But identity is multifaceted. See what I'm saying? Identity is more than nationality. Nationality is an aspect of one's identity. And you have to know the 360 to your identity. You know what I'm saying? So when you take it into consideration that once you understood your Moorish heritage, you see, then you start to build back your identity. You know, you have to come into context of saying this is who I am in this aspect. Like, there's your astrological or divine identity. You see, so there's different forms of your identity, and all of these things come into play when you start to, you know, talk about the estates, because, as I said, it comes from family. You see, and ultimately, a state makes up states. Like, the concept of what a state is today has its origin in estates. I give some of the treaties out as well in the book from The Hague, where in The Hague, they got all of these very different international agreements in relation to trusts and estates. You see? So take that into consideration, and then you'll say, okay, the true way to get back to the estates is through identity correction. You see what I'm saying? It's because once you've determined your identity, then you start to find out what your family had and what was taken from them specifically. This is an aspect of your research. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people say they research. You know, they say, yeah, you know, I researched this, or, you know, I broke this down, or I know who the Phoenicians and the Chemites and the Canaanites and the Hittites, I know who all of these people are. But do you know who you are? You see what I'm saying? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're entitled to? You understand what I'm saying? Because this is the building block. This is the form that you got to start building your identity and your generational wealth that was stolen, and this is the, you know, format that you should get it back in. Because as you begin to do the research about who you are and finding out what your family was owed, then there comes the claim, or the perfection of the claim. You see what I'm saying? You got to make the perfection of the claim. And this is why I left off when people was talking bad about Moors, that they say, oh, the Moors are out there stealing people's houses. Like, I agree, some of them shouldn't use the sovereign citizen ideology per se. Some of the information, of course, information is information no matter where it comes from. No one has a monopoly, so to speak, on information. You see what I'm saying? So when you take that into consideration and you say these Moors who have been, number one, the houses that they're taking are foreclosed. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, that's the bottom line. Like, families own it. You see what I'm saying? They do indeed still own counties. I know in a lot of the 13 colony states, they call them freeholders. At least in Jersey, they do. They call them freeholders, and they run the counties. You see what I'm saying? But the Moors that are taking these particular properties are foreclosed. They, you know, a lot of them really, or they can't be filled by anybody. And anybody with real estate 101 or any concept of it knows that a bank doesn't like a property just sitting there because they can't make no money on it. So, you know, they're just mad that Moores got smart and found out how to, you know, create a different real estate venue market or way of going about it. Because when you get down to the bottom line of it, you know, what they're doing is fraud. This is how they ended up in this situation in the first place. So I'm saying, although the Moores need to tighten up with certain things, you know, the fact is, whoever is on the front lines, you know, because when I was doing that particular, type of contracts, you know, people don't understand how silly they are when they look at, you know, it's not even a legal way of acquiring a property. You know what I'm saying? it's not even the legal way with the way you go and sign a mortgage. Like, somebody's tricking you, literally. Like, the actual contract says that you own the property and that you're giving it away. You're going to agree to be a tenant in the property. You know, this is all over the world. Everywhere is trying to get their real estate system up to the business standard that is practiced in the U.S. So you got to take that into consideration and say, yo, all that is just some, they just some haters. So, you know, for people who want to talk bad about the malls that may be popping up on the news because of this, that, and the third, y'all just haters. You should be happy that they're out there taking those bumps and bruises. Well, when we take over or when we get power and control, we're supposed to do business the same way they was doing it. Just because you know their system and know how they do things means that you're going to do it the same way? Like, come on, that don't make no sense. You see what I'm saying? Because the contract itself is a big fraud. If you even look into the United States codes and look up adverse possession, they say they'll give you a land patent if you or your family adversely held the property for 20 years or more. Now, what people don't understand is adverse possession. Adverse possession says that you have to be hostile in your acquisition of taking the property. You see what I'm saying? So when you move into a prop, when you the way they took the land was by adverse possession. People don't realize that. You see what I'm saying? They don't understand that it's by adverse possession, because one of the key things is you got to plant your flag. You got to put your flag up if you are adversely acquiring a property, and you got to be utilizing the actual property. You can't actually, just let the property sit there and do nothing with it. The actual language is that you got to be hostile. So, you know, actually, I got the Black's Law Dictionary right in front of me, and I want to read it to you all so that you can understand this. And, there's many other dictionaries to say, a couple things differently, but they all pretty much the same. They all saying the same stuff. And let me just get it for a second. Here we go. Adverse possession. A method of acquisition of title by possession for a statutory period under certain conditions. Okay? A method of acquisition of title by possession. You see, so possession is 9/10 of the law, but the other 1% is title. So when you say the adverse possession is a method of acquisition of title by possession. So that means they're not after the 9%. They're taking the 9% to get the 1%, which is the title, which is held in the estates. You see what I'm saying? So this whole thing is crazy. Let me finish reading. When they say statutory is written law. You see what I'm saying? Statutes is what is considered written law, and there's a process to make something into law, which is when they pass it through all of the, all their little organizations and agencies. It says right here, the possession must be actual. Ortiz versus Pacific states properties. It's an adverse under claim of right, continuous, open Wilberforce. First time I heard that. Exclusive, notorious. Although color of title is not essential, it is of great evidentiary value in establishing adverse possession. That means that you have to, in order to establish adverse possession, you got to make a title, a colorable one, at that. That's what it's telling you. You know, I ain't making this up, I'm reading it. It says, adverse possession depends on intent of occupant to claim and hold real property in opposition to all the world. Hold on. Let me go again for you real quick. That's adverse possession depends on intent of occupant to claim and hold, real property in opposition to all the world. That means that when you grab the property, when you claim it, you know, and you hold it, you're doing that in opposition of everybody on the planet. Like, yo, this is my shit. Bottom line, it's my shit. That's what you're saying. Excuse the expression, not the language, as Taj would say. You know, it's mine. That's what you're saying. It also says, and also embodies the idea that owner of or persons interested in property have knowledge of the assertion of ownership by the occupant. Payment of taxes alone is not sufficient in itself to establish adverse possession. It is mandatory that the element of continuous possession exists for the full statutory period. So what you see here, now that's adverse possession. That's how they came and took the land. They used, I forgot the Latin term they used, legis renalis or something like that. I'll be more direct next time. I'm doing a live stream tomorrow on the Moors, Renaissance. So I'll touch on that and have that up. But they utilized adverse possession when it came to, once they had treaties with the different tribes, they came in and then start using adverse possession. And it was pretty much a hostile takeover. That's all that pretty much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Res nullius. Appreciate that very much. Which pretty much means that if I'm more civilized than you and I can take your land, then it's just pretty much, you know, that's what that means. But the main issue is that the adverse possession as a form and a method of taking property is just a legal way of saying you took the property and you held it down. That's it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And there's a legal process within the process of diplomatics or being diplomatic about what you're doing. Now, a lot of people, you know, they don't understand what diplomat or diplomatic means. You know, they have a concept that it means, you know, it means certain things in a governmental way when you're interfacing with the United States, but then it just has an overall, you know, overall denotation to it that pretty much you can't get away from, you know. It says right here, just give me 1 second. Let me get this definition. All right. 1 second. You know. Excuse me. I just really want to get this to you all and, you know, how you read it. But I can't seem to find it right now. But diplomatics is, and I'm paraphrasing, is pretty much the process of deciphering ancient writings and texts. That's what diplomatics is. So when you talk about diplomatics, you know, and that being the deciphering of ancient scripts and texts, then you have to know treaties, because the diplomats that engage in diplomatics study or represent governments that have binding agreements with, you know, with different countries. Now, the interesting thing about it is the reason I brought up the trust in the states is because, as somebody posted earlier, that's, you know, that's actually something where, what was it that they posted? It was, Private International Law. Shout outs to whoever posted that, because you have to know the difference between public and private relative to your status and who you are and what's governing you. The straw man is a public debt instrument, you know, evidence by the birth certificate, obviously. And when you, a congressman, for crying out loud, came out and said the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So when the congressman came out and said that it was evidence that you shared this debt, you know what I'm saying? That's a congressman. Congress, you know, law has to be the original intent of Congress. It's not up to Congress to construe, you know, what the law is. They lay it out, and everybody else is supposed to pretty, you know, you got to get to the original intent pretty much. So the main thing is, if this congressman comes out and says this, you got a situation where all of these different, instruments, these straw instruments are evidence, and we all know that it's authorized by the 14th Amendment under the public debt, then you got to say to yourself, bottom line, what is that in contradistinction to private law or private international law? Because governments deal on both sides. You see what I'm saying? But the thing that gets people upset is that on the private side, the bankers that are administering the various different trusts in the states of our people's land and stuff like that, the ones that are doing that is doing it through private international law. That's how they're able to do it. And it's because a constitution is a trust document. And when the United States, you know, you have some Moors and people say, you know, the United States was formed by Moors. You know, you can't find any Moors, signatures on that Constitution, the U.S. Constitution. You can't. It hasn't been somebody to show me that yet. So that's irregardless of the fact. That's hogwash. What is true is that they created a trust document, a trust instrument that mimicked what we created. You see what I'm saying? So when they actually created the trust document, which is the Constitution, it was for them to be, it was for Anglo-Saxon, some people say we the Anglo-Saxons, but, it was for Pale Europeans from the Anglo-Saxon stock to secure a form of trade and commerce between the different estates that were stolen, and how that was going to be conferred to their descendants. You see, because we already know it's not deep. You know, the Masons, they were Masons and stuff like that. You know, Shriners, and let's go back into the Moors and all these other different things. So, you know, we understand it on that level that, you know, they got it from us. They did all of these different things. You know what I'm saying? So you got to take into account that once these particular estates contracted through the Constitution to make that trust or reaffirm the trust, because it wasn't trust before. It came from an Articles of Association to Articles of Confederation to the U.S. Constitution, which was a confirmation and affirmation of the, you know, Articles of Confederation, essentially. But so the main thing is to take into account that, you'll be able to see in the presentation tomorrow where I break down, some of you may have seen it on 1,000 Streams, but I'm going to get into more detail about the map that shows the colonization of the Americas. Because that is not until you see that you understand what other estates and titles were taken by what crowns. Like, when you're talking about dealing with other corporate governments, you're dealing with, like, corporate nation states are just instruments and instrumentalities, you know, and they're just little instrumentalities of these different crowns, so to speak, like the British crown, you know, Spanish crown, because they all got kings and queens still to this day. Like, I seen an article where the king of Sweden, I didn't, come on, you know, king of Sweden was cheating on the queen with his sister, strangely enough, but I'm just saying, I didn't know there was a king of Sweden, pardon me for my ignorance, but it seems to not be a trend. It seems to be something of tradition where all of those European countries still have their monarchs in place, which should have been evident. But the main fact is that what they did is they consolidated it. They consolidated it through the corporate nation states, and then further consolidated it through the European Union. So all you see with more of these unions and all of these different entities that pop up as different buffer zones, keeping the people away from, you know, the actual source of who's running it all. Because they'll tell you that the kings and the queens is out there just figureheads, but it's their estate that they've illegitimately took over. You understand what I'm saying? So that's at the key root, you know, so to speak, from building your actual estate to a level where you can now begin to build an economic base, because you're dealing with the situation backwards. You're dealing with, I need to make money, or I want to get money, or I want, you know, wealth, but you don't have a plan to build it. You think you just, you know, you got to have a plan to build it. You got to have a plan to access it. You see, so all of that in conjunction with what the Moors are doing with these properties is that I'm going to tell you the key component that's missing from it, you know, because a lot of these things, it isn't difficult to do. It comes with organization. It comes with having, you know, dedicated people who are not fearful and who are intelligent and competent enough to execute certain things. As well, I mean, idiots could do more, but, you know, if you want to be on the strict, safe side, then you just want to do everything right. And you pretty much will, you know, encounter the fact that this is a whole new platform and a process that's being made. How many people have seen that movie, Gangster's Paradise? Is it Gangster's Paradise? Something like that. It's a movie about these brothers in South Africa. And, you know, when he was a teen, you know, he was robbing, stealing, doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? He was doing little stuff like that. So later on in the movie, you know what I'm saying, he comes back, he get a little crew, a squad together. And throughout the whole movie, you see him reading Donald Trump book, the one that Donald Trump wrote on, you know, making it big in real estate. So, needless to say, the brother is like, you got to see this movie. I mean, he ended up getting with an Albion, and that sort of took him down. But he got back on his feet. He, you know, he started dealing with this Albion chick, messed his whole thing up. You know, but the main thing is that you got to see this movie, because they had a whole project. They had projects upon projects in South Africa, just like you see in New York City or Atlanta, down south, wherever. They had projects straight impoverished, right? And this guy one day put a suit on, went in front of everybody in his old community and told them, I forgot the name of it, but he started a trust and had them pay their rent into the trust. And that way, it stalled it from the landlord, because the landlord can't just put all those people out. So he automatically loses all of his value in the property completely. You see what I'm saying? Because he has tenants, but nobody's paying, and he can neither afford to put them all out, and he can't afford to keep them all there because he wasn't really doing a good job of being, you know, landlord, property owner, et cetera. So he had them paying the money in the trust, and the trust was actually supposed to be held in escrow for when the case got settled. And, I mean, you just got to see it. And it was like, wow. They put this in a movie. I mean, I'm just saying, if you wanted to take over your hood, watch the movie. And he does it with a trust. A trust. You know, some guy who was on some shoot 'em up, bang bang stuff, and they called it, what they called it? They called it, I don't know, I think they called it Jesus or something like that. But that's how it was. You gotta see the movie. Great movie. Because I'm just in awe about that one detail specific. You know, Jerusalem. That it was just amazing how he just formed the trust, had everybody pay the money into the trust. And, you know, I mean, you know, it was some Negro stuff that took place that caused it to go downwards, of course. You know, they can't have a movie in too good. But that one piece, if somebody improved upon that, hey, you know, if you got the time to do it and you care about your hood that much, that's the movie to do it. That'll give you the idea because it showed you right then and there. So the whole point is that's how powerful trusts are. You see what I'm saying? The power of trusts. So, you know, taking that into consideration, you got to say, okay, well, how do we actually begin to build up the Wall Street? Well, the answer is quite simple. Because, trust you me, you know, it is best, you know, that we strive for self-determination and dissolve and, you know, get rid of the adhesive contracts. But it is because you have never been told how to utilize your person, because your person is property. Don't get it twisted. You're not the person. A person is property. It's just what it is. And you were never taught how to utilize that property well, you see, or how to maintain and manage that property. So a considerable amount of things and steps could be taken before you, what I call, unplug from the matrix completely. And that all goes into, if someone was to say they were going to take over, well, I don't want to use that term. That's highly offensive, I would say. Well, let's just say redistribute the, you know, redistribute some finance throughout the communities, is that you essentially would have to have a way to acquire property fast. You see what I'm saying? Because without real estate, don't get it twisted. Real estate comes from sangreal, the you know, Sanskrit term for royal blood, and the word that is royal is real. So when you say real estate, you're talking about royal estates. Make no mistake about it. So understanding that you got the royal estates, you see what I'm saying, or real estate, which is the properties of the royals. This is why you have to have what they got, title companies and all this other stuff, you know, check if the title's clouded. You know, all of these are backdrops for the, you know, just little knick-knack ways to get around how they just, you know, playing with your shit in front of you. Bottom line, like, they're just playing with it all in front of you, you know, making themselves seem relevant. So what these malls are going out there doing is they have a plan to acquire property. May not be the best of plans, and I would say that I got a very great plan that, you know, with some dedication and some dedicated people and some other resources, put it into play, work like a charm. Because the root of it is jurisdiction. You see? The root of it is jurisdiction. And who gets to say what goes on in what particular jurisdiction. So that's why your quote-unquote religious freedoms come into play, as because it could then allow you to acquire and position, you know, ecclesiastical jurisdictions. You see what I'm saying? So you can then take that ecclesiastical jurisdiction and then incorporate it as a municipality or do all of these other different things. You see what I'm saying? But you essentially want to acquire property so that you can then begin to get resources, because let's put it this way, without buildings, everybody's just out in the open. I don't care if you're building huts or whatever the case may be. The science of building and buildings in and of itself is value, because it creates housing, stability, a place where business can be transacted or life can be sustained, a setup, a settlement. That's why that's important. You know, you often hear me talk about the decline and the demise of the U.S. economy, but if these laws, including myself when I was dealing with that particular particular kind of work at the time, you got to say to yourself that, you know, who's going to trailblaze a way to lawfully acquire property? You understand what I'm saying? Because what they doing is fraudulent. Why you think it's so many folk they haven't? I mean, it's just fraudulent. Completely fraudulent. You know, there are other investments, you know, like Forex. There's a million different things that are necessary. But at the same time, without property and royal estate, which is your estate, real estate, because it's buildings on top of your land, you know, I know the other natives and indigenous aboriginal tribes may not have said to themselves that this is our land. No one can own land, but scratch that. It's our shit. Bottom line. So without those particular, you know, people doing what they're doing, there'd be no way to, you know, really acquire property. So that now once you do, all right, for instance, in Spain, there's a movement going on with Spain where Brother Red Pill had put me onto this, where I seen an article too, where there's some Moors out currently in Al-Andalus who know their Moors, know they descend from Moors, know the people that was there at the time and the stories surrounding it, and they're actually going into, you know, pretty much desolate places because the property is so cheap, and they're saying the Spanish can't even afford to even do nothing about it. And they're just going in, setting up businesses, setting up, you know, tea shops, all the different things, getting it popping like they did in 1492. So, you know, essentially, or also too, one of the Spanish said, we beat them, we beat the Moors, and we're not going to let them take over our communities. But they ain't got no money. You know, they can't do nothing. And all they doing is, you know, pulling their money together and grabbing the properties up and, you know, turning it into businesses. Now, people talk about gentrification, you know, oh, when the prices go up because the crime high in the black neighborhoods. Well, the crime is high in the black neighborhoods because, like the Tea Party guy said, this is what they choose to do. I mean, it's a choice, no matter how you look at it. You know, somebody, parents should have said, I got to learn what the hell these Albines is doing so, you know, I can make it better for my children. Some people were smart enough to see what was going on, and some people wasn't. So that's what it is. In most societies that would exist with typical, you know, hierarchical structures, you're going to have a bottom base. And, you know, you're either in the bottom base or you're not. You know, last time around in Europe, the Albines was in the bottom base part. Now we're in the bottom base part, but we're experiencing the shift now because their whole methodology is completely bursting from the seams. So you got a situation where you got to factor in as this decline takes place, which you're going to decline with them. I mean, they actually said that, quote unquote, Africans, Americans, code word for Moors, or Moorish descent, those of Moorish descent, or Moorish American, whatever, how you like it, they're saying that we're blissful in poverty. They just said blissful. It's an article out there. You can, you know, Google it if you like. But they said we're blissful in poverty. So that means that, you know, it doesn't matter if things are up or down for us. They're pretty much going to be the same. Like, I mean, you know, when they talk about jobs, it wasn't like, you know, our people could get jobs like that in the first place. Like, it's not really affected us. Like, we need to worry about what the hell we're going to do when they, you know, can't do shit anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that, and I got to give shout-outs to the malls for doing that, because they're taking the first steps to building the Wall Street. Because if you check out what they call, quote-unquote, Black Wall Street, was they had various different businesses all owned by our people. Even in the movie Rosewood, they had a whole completely, you know, working town. I think when Kojo comes on, he can explain a little bit more about a story. He was telling me about a brother from somewhere, someplace. He just had soda companies, just all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first step to building a Wall Street. Is built, and we need to build many Wall Streets, but the main step is to take back the community. And the first thought, you know, to that is grabbing properties and job training programs. Because I don't care how much people know about nationality, if they are not competent, they're just not competent. You're not going to get nowhere. I don't care how many statutes could be recited. I don't care how many Circle 7 Quran verses can be recited. If, you know, competency is not instilled, then people won't even be able to do the job. Like, they got to, because the first thing you do when you start opening up, when you start acquiring properties in the communities, is you start to then take those businesses and employ the people who live in the neighborhood. You see what I'm saying? And give them jobs in businesses that you're opening up. Like, for instance, a phenomenon in New York, you got to just look at how it is, because a few years ago, I was talking to some of the Arab dudes that is downtown Brooklyn who own, you know, all of those SED underground and stuff like that. And, you know, he was just telling me that, yeah, they own all of the stores down there, the Arabs. And they make money like crazy. But they own all the stores, but the Jews own the properties. See, I mean, you know, everybody out there getting it. You got to have a format and a team. Like, the Jews are able, these people are able to buy up so many properties because they're doing it through entities where in which they're pooling resources and money behind so that they can acquire it, open up their businesses, or, you know, lease them out, do whatever the case may be. That's the first step. You know, not everybody, we're going to get into some foreign opportunities when we get the 144,000 on, but just for those that's living in North America, just, you know, that's always going through the same blues, you know, you got to say to yourself, look, you got to take back your community, man, and you got to tilt your hat to the Moors that's out there putting that work in on those properties, because that's going to be the new way that the bread is going to, the properties is going to operate. You know, yeah, the Arabs, but you got, you know, the Arabs are connected, but you got to see how connected. See, what we got to stop doing is placing the value of other people outside of ourselves. Like, we're connected. I know in where New York City does business at, in El Sanguin, Marrakesh, you know, Mauritius Islands, what they do is, you know, they set up in and around us. It's like they set up shop next to us. It don't matter how filthy our hoods are, They will always come out there, be out there 24/7 getting money. Corner stores is getting money. Do you understand commercially how our people are perpetually broke? Because you know how much money gets spent at the corner stores? That, like, as much money as we spend on corner stores, you think we own them. Or Quickie Marts, if you ain't in an urban environment. You know, Quickie Marts, Wawa's, and 7-Elevens. You see what I'm saying? You know, the money goes directly out of the community. Directly. I don't care if you're saying you're more, or the religious protections and the nationality is what help us keep the money inside the community. That's what it's there for. You see what I'm saying? So they set up all around us, and we just out there just giving them the money, huh? Take that, take that, take that. You see what I'm saying? And then we wonder why, you know, what's the typical thing that we open up? Barbershops. You know, yo, I seen an article on Facebook somebody posted where in California the boys ran down on barbershops like they was moving Yola out there or something. Yo, yo, they went out there, guns drawn, asking for what? Licenses to be barbers. Damn, they don't even want niggas to get their hair cut fresh, like. You got to start cutting your own, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this is craziness. So the community, the religious freedoms, the nationality aspect, all of these things are to be viewed and looked at as things that protect your existence in collection with those that you share that same, you know, that same heritage with. You see what I'm saying? But you won't never get to even have a good nation or built up one if you don't know how to keep money inside of it. You see what I'm saying? So, see, but the reason that they're doing this is because they know how many of our people are not licensed to cut hair or to braid hair. They just been doing it since they've been young, and they know how to do it. So because they know that our people not, you know, are not licensed in that area, and it's not nothing new. This is what I'm trying to say. Excuse me. These things been in place. You always needed a license to cut hair or braid hair. You always did, according to when they set it up. It's just that they wasn't enforcing it. Now money's tight. They, you know, every state has beefed up their motor vehicle, ticketing sequence because they're trying to get more money. Money is tight, so they got to crack down. The first thing on the totem pole to get cracked down on is unlicensed businesses because they're the easiest to expose because they're not licensed. So let's just go lock them all up for not being licensed. And then that's another $2 million a month or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's the whole tactic behind that. And, you know, again, with the nationality and the religious freedoms, you know, you're not supposed to be, you know, emotional by any of these things. You're supposed to utilize a tool. It's like you're obsessing over a hammer or a screwdriver or, you know, a hacksaw or something. Like, you know, I love this hacksaw so much. It's just a hacksaw. You know, it's just something to cut wood with. And, you know, these particular facets of our identity and ways of associating with each other are ways to protect what we're doing amongst us. That's part of what sovereignty and self-determination is all about. So, you know, the first thing our people do, getting back to the point, is they mainly just set up barbershops, and which is cool because, you know, we always got to have our hair cut. We always got to, and the women always got to have them new weaves or the dreads twisted up because, I mean, you can talk about the women that wear the weaves or the wigs or the perms, but, I mean, at least in out here, you see people, you see sisters with just as much natural hairdo as whatever. So, you know, the whole point is when they cracking down and looking at it, they saying these are the type of companies – that quote-unquote Negroes or the Moors do. You see what I'm saying? This is the kind of business that they're into, so let's crack down on it. So without any you know, protections legally first, so that you can have a legal ground and argument against them running down on you. See, these things are just facets to be able to protect yourself with, because, you know, pretty much if you don't have a force like they have a force, or if your people isn't controlling the force, then you'll have a private security company and so on and so forth, and they can't, you know, they're always going to be able to roll out like that. So it's just those different things. But I'm going to stop blabbing my mouth for a minute, because I got some guests that I want to get on, so that they can start breaking down some other aspects of building up a Wall Street. I just wanted to lay a foundation down with everybody and let them know that real estate, royal estate property is, and estates and trusts is where you begin to start building a Wall Street for us. You know what I'm saying? So, right now I want to introduce, Kojo, Islam. Mr. Dale, you're a little choppy on the, you're a little choppy.
I'm calling in through Skype, trying to call in on the phone. It's too busy right now. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I hear you perfect.
Definitely, Islam. Honest. Islam.
No doubt.
Peace to all the listeners out there.
Indeed. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is and by the way, this is the chairman for the Murakush Investment Fund, and he has regular Forex training courses, online courses available on Tuesdays, it is?
Indeed, Tuesdays and Thursdays, every evening, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we hold a live training session where we go for about an hour and a half most nights. Great information. You can check all that out on MurakushInvestmentFirm.com. You'll see it under Forex Training Services.
No doubt. I know there's supposed to be Money Talks, the new blog talk showing all the Moors how to get busy in this commercial venue. That's supposed to be coming soon too, right?
Yeah, definitely. We should get that going sometime this week for sure. I definitely want to do this this evening so we could get prepared, let everybody know we're really getting ready to start unveiling some things. Definitely trying to get, Moors back to business. You know, that's my slogan for the new year. We're coming up, on the ending of this year. You know, it's starting to get cold. Things are starting to die down. It's the time where you start to gather up all your nuts. So when that March comes around, we can definitely start to spring up and do some big things. So definitely Money Talks is going to be coming soon on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. We're going to do a more formal, grand opening to the day before, so you get your launch off or whatever the case may be. But I want to ask you real quick, what do you think is the key component to creating and building up a Wall Street? For all those who don't know, Wall Street is just a term that signifies it's a maritime commercial term, you know what I mean? Because there's always walls around the city to protect the finance. That's why they call it Wall Street. Wall Street is right down the block from Water Street. But break it down though. What do you think is some of the key components in building that up and why it's necessary?
I mean, just to start off, based on what you discussed earlier in regards to property, it's interesting that property is twofold. It could be both asset and a liability. So when we talk about property, we definitely want to consider buying property that we turn into assets. And that's where we start getting into the different commercial entities that will be housed in these properties that we're going to be acquiring. You know what I mean? If we're creating a hub, like you said, buildings and having walls surrounded by a specific hub for us, definitely getting those properties is important. But turning them into assets is more important, where that they're not costing you more than they're bringing in. And that means that you got to have businesses operating out of those. And
exactly. Mm.
And currently, you know, we could say definitely, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in the normal business arenas when we come to consumer goods. So we talk about retail businesses and things of that sort. Those are great. But really, when we talk about becoming a hub, we want to become hubs in import and export. And then that, I think that's the main issue. When we talk about community lacking the funds, it's not that we lack the income of funds, it's that we lack the knowledge to maintain the funds and keep it circulating, not only circulating in the general amount that was spent, but in increasing what is circulating, meaning that we're spending the money and investing and continuously building upon that. And that means that Wall Street should be a place where we're constantly selling goods, making available for the members in the community to be able to invest their excess, as opposed to spending it on Dutch Masters. You know what I mean? You could spend it somewhere else with a member, but you can invest in a company locally.
Yo, you know, I gotta say real quick, you know, I'm ashamed myself like that. You know, no, seriously, man, like,
indeed.
You know, they upped them to $1.25 now.
And there's a reason for that.
I know. You know what I mean? No, it's $1.50 in some places. So, you know, that's a business that we, come on, you know, you're right. Yeah, we should have had our own Dutch, our own paper rolling companies. My bad, yeah.
But that's where it starts, though. You know, that's where it starts, where you're thinking about, you know, what can you provide to your local community? And usually what happens is once you figure out what you can provide to your local community, that usually grows into providing for communities outside of your local community. It becomes an export business. So when we talk about...
You're chopping up a little bit. You're chopping up, so just try to slow it down a little bit so we can hear you because it's chopping up. Damn, it's $2 up there? That's crazy. My bad.
They seeing a market. They're seeing a market in what is consumed locally in these local urban communities. You know, their demographic, you know, demographic work is being done to see, you know, what sort of goods are being consumed by these people in order to suck the value and the money out of the community. So that means that, of course, we got to start considering replacing certain things. So it starts with those businesses that are in the arena of consumer goods, because by providing consumer goods, the day-to-day stuff that the community is using and spending the majority of their money on allows for the businesses that's providing that to maintain and keep that in the community. So we got to get – it's for me, generally, I'm always concerned about how many people are starting businesses. We talk about the unemployment rate currently. It's not that difficult to start a word-of-mouth business in a local community, but you got to have some sort of plan that's going to grow beyond the local community. So when we talk about Wall Street, that's the base of trade. But it's not only do we have consumer goods going around our community, but we have an excess of goods that now are exported. So we're gathering money from other communities and bringing it into the local community where the business originated or where the shares of the business were originally sold or whatever the case may be. So in my opinion, it starts with basic consumer goods, and it's really moving into the arena right now, the whole eco-green paradigm, where there's a shift in people looking for basic consumer goods but looking for it to come from a green, eco-clean, friendly perspective. So there's a huge opportunity out there when it comes to that. That's my take on
it. Indeed. You know, that's what goes back to one of the things I forgot who told me. It was a regular Joe Schmo that gave me this quote, but he said, think globally, act locally. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So definitely that gives a lot of credence to what you were just saying. That was perfectly put, though. I mean, you know, that was perfectly put, because that's what the money's being consumed on. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's what the money's being spent on, those everyday consumer items. And then you could even, like, I mean, come on, yo, they got toys in them stores. They got, like, I'd be like, yo, how do you jam pack this much shit into one store? Like, how do you do that? So, as many products as they got in there, that's how many businesses that could be started. Like, I'm going to tell you something interesting. Somebody told me that somebody came across a box somehow, you know, they came across a box of, you know, those little Kobe headphones? Those joints, right? So they went to the corner store and said, look, I got a box or whatever, I'll sell them to you. You know what I'm saying? I'll sell them to you for $2 $2 a headphone. Corner store dude bought it right off the rip, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dude came back into that store and sold that and saw that he was selling them for $10. You know what a come up that is, really? Like, for as many headphones as people walking in there buying? Like, that's a come up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on little things, though. So, indeed. The thing is how, you know, that says a lot about the commercial ingenuity that our people are displaying, because it's like, if we buy so much stuff, shouldn't we be the ones making it? At least that way we know that we can separate enough for what's for us and then what we're selling. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely. Another question I wanted to ask you, though, is with that being said, what are some of the first steps that you would just, you know, briefly recommend that people begin to look into in order to start to create that kind of situation and condition for themselves? Because I just want to say this real quick, because it's very important that we're successfully, for lack of better words, successful individually, for lack of better words, that word specifically, us. We have to be good on our own so that we be stronger collectively. So what's some of the first steps that you would say?
Well, I mean, step number one is get your financial literacy in order, because it's going to be very difficult for anyone to start a business if they're coming in with the mentality of counting pennies in regards to how much they can save and not spend, and or, you know, coming into the fact of, I don't have money, it takes money to make money. There's certain mindsets that need to be changed in regards to business and corporations and commerce. And, you know, that to me would definitely be step one, is making sure that we step our financial literacy and commercial literacy up to understand what it is that we're doing, where this is not an individual type of thing, not in the perspective of, it does take an individual to start the idea, but it does take, you know, a certain type of individual to take that idea and make and produce for other people to come in and be able to benefit off of what it is that they created. So it takes vision, you know what I mean? So education and vision, definitely, you know what I mean, I think would be the basis. And then the second thing I think would be definitely to just jump out there, put a plan together, and start talking about it.
Or they can go to the Mother Cush investment firm and get some pro help on setting that up. But my bad, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, we have the services available to be able to assist more in doing so. But, you know, wherever you find that information, you take advantage of it. But we definitely have a way of creatively getting involved with your business ideas and putting those things together, for sure. But I think, you know, absolutely, definitely, you know, having those plans put together in a professional manner is going to be a plus, but you got to know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So it takes a lot of study, but at the same time, it takes heart to just get out there and get something done. So I know there's a lot of people out there that have ideas, never really put them down on paper. You're talking about the science of what we do as indigenous people. We know that putting something in stone solidifies it. So we got to start taking that type of mentality. And you know, definitely the mortgage investment firm is offering services for that. But, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to write some words down on a piece of paper to explain their ideas. What we do is we can put it in a professional manner and get it clear for other people to read it, But it definitely starts there with having that plan. Once you got the plan, you got to get out there and start going and getting going. And I think right now what's most important for a lot of us is for us to start creating the environment of cooperative economics. We all hear about that Ujamaa principle. Everybody has some sort of idea of what they want to do. And you just said that somebody that people be packing all kind of stuff into one store. Why not cooperatively consider buying a building where 10 or 15 entities, depending on the size of the building, can come together and put those things in place where they share, they have a co-op where they share the building and they have their businesses benefiting from that. That right there produces its own small version of a Wall Street. And that model could be taken around and expanded upon. So it starts with definitely making sure you get your financial literacy up to par and understanding what commerce is really all about. And you've got the business courses at the Morehouse Science University for that. Getting your plans on paper and solidifying what it is that you're doing, and then start getting out there and connecting with other business people and other people who are able to situate themselves where you could cooperatively build businesses. As a community, I think we could really be able to accomplish that in a short period of time if we take this thing seriously.
Indeed. You know, the last thing you said really is something that I was going to add on, not as detailed as how you said it, because that was perfectly put, but building business networks up and building, you know, it's something that I found that is very important to the whole thing. It comes from a lot of self-help books, okay, in front, where they say you got to surround yourself with positive thinking people and people who particularly want to do business themselves or want to be productive. And you can't let certain other things inhibit your interaction with other people because, you know, this nationality thing and this venue, that's you know, it's great, it's perfect, that's for us, but you got to actually be able to interface with everybody, you know, on some kind of basic commercial level. But I would say a very key component is surrounding yourself with positive thinking people and people who are, you know, studying, practicing, and that are already on that path. You know, when you brought up co-op, Sister Abundance Child just brought up co-op as another key, and you was breaking it down on the Mojo principle. Excuse me if I got that messed up. Now, correct me on that. What is it? Umoja, right?
Ujamaa.
The Kwanzaa Ujamaa joint, right?
Ujamaa, excuse me. Yeah, Umoja is unity. And
yeah,
Ujamaa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that there's some kind of cooperative type of, you know, system going on with that whole Kwanzaa thing as well. So what's crazy about it is if, like, that's the basis for corporations. It's just that they split up the property, per se, between they you know, they just cut the pie differently. Instead of share a building, they get a lot of buildings and share shares in the company that own buildings. You see what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So the thing is the cooperative economic aspect of it is how you even keep it from being actually you know, a corrupt corporation. Because if everybody has a slice cooperatively in it and actually has a responsibility itself. It's funny that you say this because I put this in the book where I said, what did I say? I said that you have to have a way to build a marketplace is to have all of the vendors of that marketplace, you know, own a station or portion of that marketplace. Now, just something that I'm briefly going to say real quick because I want to definitely get to my man Sharif down in Brazil. We have to actually take into consideration that starting businesses is supposed to be a special thing. Like that, you know, it may seem regular, but it's a special thing because it is one of the first steps that you stop being a slave. Where you go into business for yourself or your family. So essentially when you're setting up these particular you know, co-ops. You know, I said something in the book where, or I just stated that, you know, it should set up something where they all own it. So when I look into, you know, the conscious community and all of these different things, and, like, you know, the Sister Abundance Child, I've seen what she's doing promotion-wise and setting up venues and stuff. There's a lot of people that rely on going to lectures to sell their products. Like, yo, that's the begin. That's like I know you are a connoisseur, a herbalist, so you know when the seeds start growing and it starts sprouting up. Like, mm-hmm. That's what that is. That's a sprouting marketplace. So that means that people are making a living off of traveling around the country, setting up, selling their products at different venues where conscious information is being disseminated. That what that means is you need a whole lot more people that got something to say out there in the venue, so more people can get out there and sell their stuff there too.
Dude.
You know, so this is, I'm just saying, that's a form of creating a market base. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, indeed. Before I go to the brother Sharif, though, you wanna leave us with anything anything extra?
No, I would just say definitely just check us out, MoraCushInvestmentFirm.com. You know, we got the funds available, we have services available. Pretty soon, we're gonna be unveiling some other investment products as well. We really want to get more, you know, people involved in starting businesses and getting our ideas out there. So, you know, we made our services very reasonably priced just to be able to get people going with what we're doing. So that's honest to you for hosting the show, honest for all y'all who's listening, because right now it's time to get busy. Like, right, it's we may say we're young, but we're not young, man. We came back for a reason. I think we just need to get ahead and get going. You know what I mean? So let's get busy, Moses. Let's get back to business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to say, too, that, you know, everybody should definitely not take what he's saying lightly and go check out the MoraCushInvestmentFirm.com and take his brother up on what he's saying, because, you know, without getting too deep into things, the brother's sharp and he know what he's talking about. Like, and he has, that's not what you see a lot of times too. You don't see people that have had, either case, a certain level of success that would render them an authority on anything. You see what I'm saying? Most people are just talking about stuff they're studying and not stuff they actually put into practice. So I know for a fact that this brother knows what he's talking about. So y'all definitely go check the brother out at the Murakush Investment Firm. You know, you already know it's all Murakush affiliated. We all affiliated, bang, bang. So, you know, y'all go check that out. So without further ado, I want to say honors and Islam to you all for coming on and sharing that information with the people, indeed.
Definitely.
Honors. All right. We're going to go to my man down in Brazil, Sharif Mikhail Ali. Islam. What's the deal? What's the deal?
What's up?
What's going on?
Man, everything. Yeah. You already know.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Just for starters, you know, I just want to say, and it was funny too, because I'm on MySpace with the Noon Project. And I started seeing y'all videos right at the time that I became friends on Facebook MySpace, this is years ago, with Abundance. So, you know, I relatively met y'all in the same time frame. But what intrigued me was the videos that y'all was putting out and that y'all actually followed up and did it. Like, y'all wasn't just talking, y'all actually did it. I believe it was you and your queen, if I'm correct. So I want you to, if you could, you know, could shed a little bit of light on just the psychology, the mentality, and, you know, briefly the process that you personally went through to go out there to Brazil and set up your company, and just the state of mind you had to be in briefly.
Okay, definitely. I mean, just speaking for myself and my family, I mean, we can't play around here, man. We got 3 kids. We just had 1 last year, so we got 4 now. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely got to follow through with everything we plan on doing. And we had been planning on leaving the country for a long time. I mean, that was just from taking a look at everything from a business standpoint, you know, looking at how everything was going economically and you know, spiritually, everything, man. I mean, for us, it was just like, it was a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's another thing, too, man. We got a new blog that we had just put up. We had compiled I'm gonna put that link up. That. You know what I'm saying? Cause basically it's like, you know, we got a lot of information on there about economics. You know what I'm saying? Cultural information, everything dealing with Brazil, but not just Brazil, also dealing with the worldwide economic situation. Cause I know a lot of people don't really know what's going on, and it's like a lot of times our people like the last to find out. You know what I'm saying? It's like basically if you say that.
No, my bad. Continue, my bad.
I was about to say if you look at the economic situation and you just take a step back and look at the whole, it's like the main thing that's going on is you got the emerging markets on the rise. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
That's like the key word, man, the emerging markets. I mean, everywhere you look at it, it's the emerging markets. They're surging forward. And, I mean, for people that don't know what that means, it's like the third world countries are on the rise, man.
They're coming up.
So-called
they
third world.
They're coming up while this one going down.
It's not even like they on the rise. It's happening right now. You know what I'm saying? It's not next year. It's not 10 years from now. We witnessing the turnover.
I remember you told me that Brazil is like the U.S. in the 50s because that's where they got the boom from. That's where most of the roads and all that stuff and the projects and the condos and all that was built was mainly in the 50s, the whole road, the infrastructure really.
So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that was something we noticed like as soon as we got down here. That, like, I mean, right now, one of the main reasons that they're not in the same state, you know, with the banking situation in the U.S. is the whole loan system, everything that they do with the home loans and all that stuff, it's all different. They're real stringent with that. And it's like, you know what I'm saying, all the resources, you know what I'm saying, they got everything here. It's just like the United States. I mean, the U.S. got gold, they got oil, they got everything you can imagine. But it's like, you know, they're like 50 years behind the U.S., so it's like booming right now. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And then the real estate here is so much cheaper. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So it's like you have a growing middle class here. So you got a whole bunch of people who love to shop and who's, you know what I'm saying, they're getting more and more money. So they're going to be looking to buy homes and all types of shit. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. They're going to be looking to buy homes.
No,
you
can good.
Buy
you can
all types
shit.
Of goods and everything. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like...
You can say it's shit. It's the liberator speech. It's the liberator speech. We can curse on this show. We don't get too outrageous, but it's liberator speech. Just saying, you know, we ain't holy rolling. This is just the real of real.
I hear you. So, you feel me? Like, people like... They're like wolves, you know, the people that's aggressive, you know what I'm saying? Especially the people with money. They're looking in Brazil like... You know what I'm saying? Like straight up wolves. You know what I'm saying? They're drooling right now. You know, because they see.
I already
first
know.
Off, the situation is ridiculous, man. So I mean, for real.
You know,
I'm trying. Go ahead.
Nah, I was just gonna say that. You know, that's deep because you know. I'm just saying. Like I was amazed because I'm trying to make that move. And I'm going to make that move down there with y'all soon. We'll come check y'all out. Y'all already know we've been talking about that. But the thing is that the opportunity, like I got a lot of friends that, you know, left. A lot of friends I'm talking about. People that, you know, I blew a lot of trees with. You know, people that I was doing business with that left, right. Went there and set up some of the most small, like, you know, these people weren't, you know, they weren't the sharpest knife in the kitchen. You know, some of these people I thought were retarded, like, you know, and they took a piece of what I said. One of them set up a voice over IP company down there, and it's booming down there with that. And then somebody else had started some kind of company where they, you know, I forgot what it was, but it was something simple. They're selling clothes. That's what it is. They're selling American, they're selling U.S. clothes that they sell in the market up here. And they opened up a business down there. I think they are Rio. And, you know, they pretty much just ship T-shirts and stuff back and forth, nothing too crazy or whatever. But that's what they're selling. And they actually, they're on their way to be millionaires. You know what I mean? So my whole point is that, you know, I know specifically some of the blogs and some of the videos y'all been sending out via Facebook on our site and a lot of other places, that there's immense opportunity down there. Like, I mean, you live down there. Like, I mean, just tell us how the air is right now, how I feel out there.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's like a whole new world. I mean, if you look at the people, the way the people look, they look just like people back home. You know what I'm saying? Wherever you at, you in New Jersey, you in Gary, Indiana, you know what I'm saying? Wherever you at with the hood, you know, it's like the same people. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, like, but it's mad of them, you know, it's like the dominant culture here, you know, and then we, I mean, you got the indigenous Morenos, you know what I'm saying? We met, you know what I'm saying? A whole bunch of Morenos who know that they're indigenous, you know what I'm saying? They're not like reclaiming it. They've been knowing that, so they never lost that, you know what I'm saying? And they don't look like the red man or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they look like us.
Yeah, straight up.
That's
and there's no secret. Nobody tell them nothing. So you know what I'm saying? It's wild, man.
So like, it's a situation. Yeah.
Say what? Now I was just about to say, man, it's just crazy about the opportunities, man. I mean, like, I really want to hammer that home, like, for the people. You know what I'm saying? The forward thinkers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hopefully it's some people out there that's aggressive, that's listening to this, that's like able to grasp this concept, man. It's time for us to grow up and to expand our minds. And to, you know what I'm saying, start being the royalty of the planet that we're supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was prophesied to happen. I mean, if you looked at the Millions More movement with Farrakhan, it was like the union, whatever, for the Million Man March. He was talking. And, like, when we saw this, like, years ago, you know what I'm saying? Me and Sakai, we was together. We was watching it. And, like, you know what I'm saying? We was pissed off because he was talking about we're going to have our own government. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go out and be the leaders of the world. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to start going and doing this, and that. We're going to have our... He was going through the same stuff that we're talking about right now. He's saying we're going to have our own branches of government, our own Department of Treasury, our own this, and that. And this was like back in like 2005 or 2006 or something. And like he was speaking that into existence, man. He was putting the seeds in our minds so that we could, you know what I'm saying, bring that into fruition, basically. I mean, and this is straight up because we're doing it right now. We're talking about it. We're the ones who's going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I already know.
That's why we got to do what we're doing right now. I mean, it's fuck all that talking. You know what I'm saying? It's time to do this shit. Nobody else is going to do it. I mean, we can witness it. You can see what everybody else is on. Once we step up and, you know, people start seeing the success and, you know, see what we're able to do, then more people's going to jump on board. But I mean, we got to do this shit. It ain't no more.
You know, you're right. You're right, because I've tried numerous times to, I don't know, I guess I had a little bit of Garvey in me. I was on my, you know, get the ship, let's get to Brazil. But, you know, it's a situation where so much opportunity exists, in, just in a simple level, whereas, let's say, you know, my dream ultimately is to build an eco city, start probably from an eco village or some kind of resort down there. You already know we're working on all that, and the people already know. I done put that out there to them a lot of times. But the fact is that, you know, even for people that's not looking to move there, you should at least, like, you can get an investment visa. You should at least
that's
go
what
out
I was trying
and
to say.
Business stuff.
Hell yeah, like, I mean, man, you can't be scared. I mean, people that's listening, man, you, man, if you're scared, you know what I'm saying, you already know what you need to do or where you need to go. You know what I'm saying? Go sit with the Jesus folks, because it ain't no more time for that shit, man. We got to grow up. This whole world is ours. It's time to start doing it, man. Fuck talking about that shit. But the opportunity is here, and it's crazy. You don't have to come here and stay. There's all types of robots and everybody else that got property and shit here, and not just here, all over the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you want to take advantage of it.
It's important, too, though, that Brazil is taken into consideration, because somebody posted it earlier. It's called BRIC, B-R-I-C. It's Brazil, Russia, India, and China. It's supposed to be at the helm of the emerging markets.
Yeah.
And I think it was Kojo who was telling me one day that Brazil is now tapping its oil reserves to give to China. Even though Brazil is eco-green, China needs so much of it, so they supplying them. And then I even read something where they said that Brazil's economy is even making China jealous.
Hell yeah. And politically, who you think is more stable? You know what I'm saying? China or Brazil, you know? They got all
that. I mean, that's one of the things. They say that it's politically stable. Like, you know, there's no coup d'etats and you know, just all the political nonsense that, you know, terrorism and none of that. Like, nobody wants to attack Brazil. They just want to go there, hang out, chill out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
So, you know, indeed. I mean, you know, there's a, like I was just saying, you know, it, then because you're down there, we're going to talk off air and we're going to put some things in place, because that's another hub. If we wanted to set up a world Wall Street, we should do it from Brazil, because it's like, number one, Aminu El Bey is a brother upstate New York who showed the Ithaca Eco Village. He helped them set it up, helped them set their currency up and everything like that. And when I went and met with him one time, he specifically told me that if he didn't have his 250 acres up there, he'd rather be in Brazil. He said, because that's the lungs of the planet.
Yeah.
It's the lungs of the planet. You know what I mean?
Largest rainforest in the world right here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you also have showed me something where there was some lady who was a psychic.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was crazy. We had just found that out, man. A friend of mine too, another from the U.S. that, you know what I'm saying, live here. He was telling me about this lady, right? She's a psychic, and she wound up getting some land right next to the capital of Brazil. You know what I'm saying? And the capital by itself, man, that's a story, because it's crazy. Like, the whole capital is in the middle of the country. You know, that's like Washington D.C. being in Kansas or something like that. And they built it there in the 50s recently, you know. They built it there, and they got, like, their own, like, UN-type, you know, buildings there. And it looks like a spaceship, you know. I mean, the whole architecture and everything.
Yeah, I see.
They
got pyramids.
Yeah,
for a reason.
Yeah, and the lady who's a psychic, you know, I don't got a name or no links on her or anything, but she basically went to them. They gave her some land. She had a plan. She had this whole vision. The cataclysm is going to come, and there's going to be floods and, you know, tidal waves and all that stuff. And the new capital of the world is going to be Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil, and then someplace like in Midwest in the U.S., like Kansas or something, like I was just saying. So
wow,
it was crazy. You know what I'm
you
saying?
Know,
and then she actually got the land and all that.
And built it. I seen the website. If I find it in time enough, I'm going to post it. Or if you have it handy, you know, definitely post it up. Let the people see what it is. For those who are listening, I need y'all to go check out the website called moreaboutbahia.blogspot.com. That's more, M-O-O-R, about, A-B-O-U-T, for the slow ones. No, I'm just playing. Bahia. moreaboutbahia.blogspot.com. Y'all go check that out, because he break it down, the ones and the twos, to how to set up in Brazil, how to make moves out there, all the economic opportunities, so on and so forth. You know, but just to add on to what you were saying, the Elder Bambada, I had a chance to speak with him recently, probably a few months ago, and he was telling me, well, actually, this part he told me a couple of years ago, that they actually, I didn't know that was the backdrop behind why they set, or, why Brasilia is in the middle of the country, because the capital, at least, because he was telling me that that's why they set it up, because he asked me, where was I trying to get land at? And I was like, to Kansas area, because, you know, they just opened it up for, you know, to get it, the title in place to get the land acquired. And he was like, yeah, that's close to the Amazon. That's out there. He was like, yeah, that's not far from Brasilia. And they built that because of the cataclysms that
were
supposed to take place. And they don't want to be on the coast. So they won't, you know, they can still run the government and stuff like that. So he had told me that from a while ago. So it's just, it's surreal getting this actual, you know, that other backdrop to it from the psychic lady. Indeed.
Yeah, for real. So, I mean, it's nothing to play around with.
Indeed. So y'all make sure y'all go check out more about bahia.blogspot.com. And y'all go and make sure y'all get acquainted with that website. We got about 6 more minutes available. I want to say honest and, you know, Islam, and thanks for coming on and sharing this particular information with us. You know, peace to the family.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? And I'm going to catch you on the next one. I want to get to the caller, Free from Chains. So without further ado, honest, no
Islam.
No doubt.
Islam.
Peace. We got caller Free from Chains. You're on air, Islam.
Islam.
Islam, what's the deal?
I wanted to touch on what you were talking about earlier about quiet property. And
your phone is a little bit choppy, but try to say that again.
Skype. I'm on the Skype.
Oh, you're on the Skype, okay.
But yeah, no, I wanted to touch on the acquiring properties, because I'm sitting on my acreage out here, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of the desert down in New Mexico, where New Mexico does business. And I wanted to hear what your opinion was about allodial titles, drafting up allodial titles, because you know how you said the Albions created adverse, you know what I'm saying, possessions.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what I was doing, and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to try to run it down as fast as possible. But before I do that real quick, I definitely want to tell everybody to go check out Murakush Imports. That's the brother, Noble Ty. He doing big things, him and Shimel out there commercially where North Carolina does business at. You know, so y'all all go check out. Post the website in the chat, brother, so I can repeat it. But back to my brother, Free from Chains, what I would say is, from what I've understood about it and the research that I put into it, you got a allodial title and then you got aboriginal title. And the reason I know aboriginal title is different from a allodial title and more powerful than a allodial title is because the allodial title has to do with feudal medieval type law, which is dealing with, you know, Britain and certain things. So it's different laws of that land. However, it still can be applied because it's in conjunction with interfacing with, you know, with that particular entity that has its origins from there. But the, if you check out the story between, who was it? It was William Penn against a Swedish colony. It was over some property. And William Penn had ended up in court with them. And he presented an aboriginal title. And they had dropped the case because his title was superior than the title that they had, which was a grant from a sovereign from Europe. So I would say that what should be done is that, you know, both be applied in a way that's hybridic. You see what I'm saying? And once that's applied in a document form, then the way you're supposed to communicate that and utilize that is through a trust, but making the instrument itself valuable, which I know the brother at the Murakush Investment Firm, Kojo, can assist you with, because once you make the instrument, if you listen to what I was saying about adverse possession and the definition I read from Black's Law Dictionary, it says that the title, it's all about the title, is possessed so that the property is possessed so that they can take title. You see what I'm saying? So since you already got the acreage, you just have to now create the title. You see what I'm saying? because you already possess it.
Right, right. And that's what I was getting at, too, because when I was researching, you know what I'm saying, titles and everything like that, when I grabbed the land, I went through a allodial title and all the different other kinds. And I saw aboriginal title in Black's Law Dictionary 6th edition, because that's what I was reading. And I saw the aboriginal title. But when I looked at it, I was like, okay, maybe they might try to group me in with Indians, you know what I'm saying, and everything like that. If I draft up an aboriginal title, you get what I'm saying?
Well,
so that's,
right.
That's what my whole thing was when I was trying to figure out which kind of title should I draft up for myself. And I was just like, well, that's why I ran with allodial for the moment. You know what I'm saying? But after hearing...
Well, I have some samples of what I did, and I'm going to be posting that soon. But what you got to look at, too, is the multifaceted of... you know, multiple jurisdictions. So what you gotta do is you gotta, you know, what we did was we set a land title down first and then rename the jurisdictions and then start moving in on that level, because the United Nations already said that the indigenous people should rename their communities, as well as in the 60s when the colonial, when the end of colonialism came, they said they gotta hand back the land to the indigenous people. And one of the ways they said in other writings in relation to that is that if you're part of the indigenous peoples, then you gotta actually be in accordance. Excuse me, that Blog Talk 90-second bringer came on, so I gotta cut it short there. So if you call it tomorrow, you know, we could definitely touch on a little bit more, because all this week we're talking about Moorish businesses and getting these economics straight. But I want to definitely let you all know that Texas is on Thursday on the Sister Abundance Child Show. You know, this somewhat of a reuniting is definitely long overdue, so we're going to bust it up, chop it up about some things. And, you know, we're going to chop it up and, you know, make some things happen and discuss a little bit more detail about, you know, the book and what y'all can expect. And I definitely have all of the tracking numbers for everybody by that show. So, you know, it's a lot of orders coming in, so you ought to deal with me. I'm understaffed. So without further ado, I want to say peace to the family, Islam, Hotep, Raubot, all the good stuff. And I definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in. Tomorrow, catch us again, because, you know, we're going to be dealing with some more that our people, whether you call yourself Black, Moor, whatever, on some basic levels could jump into. So without further ado, peace, and thanks for calling in, Free From Chains, Islam.
Islam, brother.